today. My last one didn't work out real good like it planned, so. How many of y'all have parents? Most of you do, I guess. There's a couple of you that don't have parents, I guess. So how many of you have parents? Let's see by how you raise your hands. Okay, everybody does. How many of you have rules at your house? Rules? Do you know what rules are? How many of you would like to have parents that wouldn't make rules for you? I wasn't going to do an object lesson, but this one didn't work either. You were supposed to raise your hands. Do you like rules? Are they necessary? Do you think it's important to have rules, though? Why? Because. What'd be another reason?
Rules of the road.
Rules of the road?
So you don't get hurt.
Okay. You mean like, maybe like, do your mom and daddy have a rule that do not go out on the road? They do? Why? But isn't that a easier place to ride your bike?
No. No.
Big people. Big people. Yeah. Well, you know what? None of us like rules sometimes. But rules are good for all of us. And you know, even Jesus, he gave us his rule book, which is the Bible. It's not all rules in there, but there's things in there that he tells us that if we want to fly away, remember that song you sang? Oh, I'll fly away. Remember we sang that this morning up here? Some of y'all didn't look like you were ready to fly because you had your hands in your pockets and you looked like this. Don't you think when you get ready to fly away when Jesus comes back that we'll be happy? Probably so. But Jesus, in his book, which is called what?
Bible.
He gave us instructions, and that's another word for rules. And that is how we can live for him and how we can fly away to go to heaven someday. I don't know if we'll fly like that, if we'll be like birds, or if we'll just float. But it says, yeah, but it says that God's going to come back and he's going to take us with him. So, y'all listen this morning when I preach the message too, and I'm going to talk about being free. And sometimes we think of being free would mean that we don't have any rules. Yeah, he did. You know what? And where is he at? Yeah. Great Grandpa Flawed. Yeah, he's in heaven. So, these rules that we have help us to have a better life. Even while you're living with your parents, every rule that your parents make for you is so that you can be happier. Now, sometimes that's pretty hard to believe, but that's really the truth. I promise you. It's so that you can have a better life. And in God's word, in John, it says, let's see here, it says, in John chapter 8, it says, Jesus said, and he was talking to the Jews, said, if you hold to my teachings, then you'll be my disciples. Said, you'll really be my disciples, and then said, you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And that's what we all want to be, free. We like the thought of being free. Wouldn't that be fun just to be so free that we could just start flapping our wings or flapping our arms and to be like wings, we could fly anywhere we want? That'd be kind of neat, wouldn't it? Like we sang this morning. Then there's another verse in that same scripture. It says, so if the Son makes you free, then you are free indeed. So can you say that with me? So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Shall we say it again? So if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed. So remember, the reason your parents have rules is so that you can be free. It's so that, and freedom has the idea of being happy. Your parents have rules so you can be happy. Okay? So you remember that next time when mom or daddy says, Connor, I don't want you doing that. I don't want you doing that. Hannah, no, you cannot do that. And you say, why? If they would tell me, because I want you to be happy, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense right then. But that really is their ultimate goal, is that you can be happy and you can be free. But then as you grow up and you allow Jesus and accept him into your life and believe on him, then he will also make you free. Because we all want to go to heaven, to fly away and to meet him in heaven and live up there forever and forever. Okay? Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we thank you for each one of these youngsters. God, would you keep them? Would you work through them, God? Be honored and glorified through the lives that they represent. And as they grow up, Father, I ask that you would help them to live for you. I pray, God, that us as adults would never do anything to hinder them or to distract them, but much more that we'd encourage them to, as they walk this path of life, to seek you with their whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. Thank you for them in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, y'all can go back to your parents. Thank you for listening. Y'all did very well. One of the youngsters this morning asked me if I'm going to a wedding or if I was at a wedding because I had a white shirt on. So I don't know what that means, if that's good or bad, but I guess it's what it is. It's a white shirt. Greetings to each one and welcome. We do have a small crowd here this morning, so thank you for being here. I look back and I see John and Andrea. I hope I don't say that on Saturday. But it's their last Sunday as individuals. Next week this time, Lord willing, they will be, you look at them and they're two as one, because they will be married. And so they're looking forward to this, and we're looking forward to it, because it is something that God ordained and God created for man and for woman. And so we wish them God's richest blessings as they continue to walk the journey of life and as they look forward to blending their hearts together next week and continuing on as one. I don't know if you recall, but back in March, I preached a sermon and the title of it was Sold Out to Serve. And I'd said that I was going to come back to that and finish up on it because there was too much there to get it in one message. And it worked out that living in freedom, I tagged on to it because of our minds being on what the 4th of July represents. And us as a country, as a nation, we celebrate our independence. Now, we can come out at very many different places on that, and I'm not going to go into that this morning. As a non-resistant people, what should our response be? What should our reaction be to 4th of July festivities, celebrations, and so on? That can be something totally for another time and place, and I'm not going to go there this morning. But I also shared this verse in 2 Corinthians 10:5, and it says, "We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." That is our goal, brothers and sisters, as believers, as we seek to live out who Christ is and what he wants for us in our lives to do, is that if we could be so focused on living out the life of Christ and his teachings, that's our goal. Do we meet it? No, we probably miss it pretty often. But our goal is to be perfect in Christ. Found several quotes, and these are not, quote, Christian quotes, but they're secular quotes. But some of them, a couple of them here I liked, because they can't apply to us as we think of freedom. One of them was, "A man's worst difficulties begin when he is able to do as he likes." So when we think of freedom, number one, freedom is really not free. As we just think of it, something that's, freedom always comes with a cost large or small, depends what the circumstance, from someone. Freedom cost someone something. Think of Jesus. Him giving us freedom, and we'll talk more about that, but Him giving us freedom to believe in Him, that cost Him His life. A man's worst difficulties begin when he is able to do as he likes. So as we think of being free men, that doesn't mean I can do what I want to do. As a free person in Christ, I am free to do what Christ wants me to do. Another one was, we are in bondage to the law in order that we may be free. Again, this was by Cicero, said this, but again, this is a secular quote, but you take this quote and you think of it in the light of Christ, you think in light of being a believer, to being a born-again Christian. We are in bondage to the law in order that we may be free. We are bound to Jesus Christ. We are bound to what He has established for us in His Word to perform for us as believers. We are bound to that. We don't have a choice to say, well, I'll do this and I'll do this, but I won't do this and I won't do this. We do not pick and choose the law that Jesus has established in His Word for us to do. So in that sense, we are in bondage to the law of God's Word in order that we can be free. It's almost an oxymoron, but it makes a lot of sense if you think through that. I found a little thing here of what it's called, the law of toddlers. And there's 10 points here, and we think that it might be a little bit cutesy when we think of the kids. But as I read it, I thought of me and I thought of you. Because these are the very things that we do, but we're a little bit more mature and we have a little bit better way of presenting them and putting some frosting on it and make them look good. The 10 property laws of a toddler. Number one is, if I like it, it's mine. If it's in my hand, it's mine. If I can take it from you, it's mine. If I had it for a little while, it's mine. If it's mine, it must never appear to be yours in any way. If I'm doing or building something, all the pieces are mine. If it looks just like mine, it's mine. If I saw it first, it's mine. If you are playing with something and you put it down, it automatically becomes mine. And the last one, if it's broken, it's yours. How often is this us? We are so self-centered and so selfish, but yet we have ways of making it look good. Well, when I'm sold out to Jesus Christ, that will cause... And when I say sold out to Jesus Christ, I'm saying if we're sold out, if we could be sold out in a perfect way, it would cause these things that I'm going to tell you next to happen in a perfect way. But they won't. We can get some of these right. Some of the time we can get all of them right some of the time. But we won't get all of them right all of the time. But being sold out will cause certain things to happen. But these are some of the things, and this is by no means an all-inclusive or an exclusive list. But when I am sold out to serve, I will do whatever it takes. Period. When I'm sold out to serve, I don't care who gets the credit. When I'm sold out to serve, I am not offended or hurt when I'm turned down. When I'm sold out to serve, I'll want all the glory to go to God. When I'm sold out to serve, it is no problem, period, when I'm misunderstood. When I'm sold out to serve, I do not react when I'm criticized, rightly or wrongly. When I'm sold out to serve, I don't react when I'm defrauded. When I'm sold out to serve, I understand that it's not about me. Those are some that I came up with. If you think about it, you can keep adding to that list. There's a lot more that could go in there. Why would I be sold out to serve? Why would I even want to live like this? Several verses in Scripture, we'll quickly go to them. You don't turn to them, but I'll just point them out. You can write them down if you'd like. Mark 1, 14 and 15, it says, after John was put in prison, Jesus went to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. You've heard Dwayne sharing. Why would we not repent? Repentance is a gift, right? We look at repentance as being something that is something bad and that it's very embarrassing. But it is a gift that God has given us that we can repent, we can turn, we can change our way of thinking. That's one of the reasons, because the kingdom of God is near. That's why we live like this. Philippians 4, verses 4 through 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. I say again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Why would I be sold out to serve? Why would I live like this? It is in order that the peace of God, which transcends or blows the minds of anybody around you that's not a believer, they cannot understand it. That peace of God in the midst of being through some of these circumstances that are not pleasant. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding. 1 Peter 4, verses 7 and 8. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over the multitude of sins. Why would we want to live being sold out? Because in Peter it says that the end of all things is near. We want to be sold out so that we can love each other deeply. Because one of those things that's going to happen when we love each other deeply, that's one of the things that transcends. That's part of that peace that we have that transcends, that blows the minds of all the people around you that see how you act. And it's not having to do with just because life is treating you kindly or fairly, but it's because of who Christ is in spite of the way life is. This is why we do what we do, because the kingdom of God is near, because it gives us the peace of God, and because, and Peter says, again, the end of all things is near. Well, what's the definition of freedom? Again, these are secular terms. But the one is the state of being free or at liberty rather than in confinement or under physical constraint. In the spiritual realm, it would be being freed from sin. Not free from sin, but we are freed from the bondage and the clutches of sin. Another one, is a definition for freedom would be personal liberty as opposed to bondage or slavery. Romans 8:2 says, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ has set us free from the law of sin and death. I talked to the kids this morning about this law that is in God's Word, these laws of God's Word that we're going to have to obey as His people. If we're going to be called His people, we have His laws that we obey, period. We can say, well, we don't want to be under a law. You will be under the law. You will be under a law. you will have a law that will dictate what you do, whether it's the law of Christ or whether it's the kingdom of this world, which is Satan's. We will always be under the influence of a law. We will always be subject to some type of law. Then I looked up the word slave. One of the definitions is a person who is strongly influenced and controlled by something, and I added, or someone. Another definition is one that is completely subservient to a dominating influence. That is the definition of a slave. I thought it was interesting. I never knew this. NIV numerous times mentions being a slave in the New Testament. I did a word search, and it's not in the King James. That word, slave, is not in the King James. It's called servant. Little side note, I thought that was kind of interesting. Several more verses about freedom. 2 Corinthians 3:17. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So we could say, where the Spirit of the Lord is absent, there is bondage. Because bondage would be the opposite of freedom, just as we've seen in the definition. Galatians 5:13 to 14. You, my brothers, are called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in one single command. Love your neighbor as yourself. Freedom is serving. You will not hear that from the secular world. Freedom in the secular term is to do for yourself and to get for yourself and to make sure that you yourself are taken care of. A non-believer would think of that as being freedom, but in Christ, freedom is serving. It is loving our neighbor as ourselves. Galatians 5:1, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. And there's many ways you can go in the book of Galatians in the way he talks about the law and being freed from the law and not being under the law. But it came to me in this context here to where as we allow ourselves to be freed through Christ, why would we allow ourselves to go back in to the old ways, to the unsaved ways that I had before I knew who Christ was? But is that not so often our tendency is to just dabble a little bit and then maybe a little bit more, and it's like, well, I could still do this and still be a Christian. I still wouldn't be off the edge here, but I could go over a little bit here. You know, the edge is still over here. And we dabble with that law of bondage rather than reveling in the fact that Christ has set me free. I am free not to go to that edge. I am free to stay way over here in Christ. Someone who is not a believer, someone who does not have the power of the Holy Spirit living and reigning in them, does not have that privilege. They do not have the Holy Spirit living within them. Romans 6:22, but now you have been set free from sin and you have become slaves to God. There it is, that word, slaves. But we're set free from the slavery of sin. We're now slaves of God. And you know, back as bad as slavery was, when the slaves were set free, there were some who did not want to be set free because they knew their life was much better. So they said, I will serve you the rest of my time. I do not want to be free in that sense. And that's for us as believers. When we say, I don't want to be free, but I want to be free. So Christ, here I give you my life. And the benefit, it says, is holiness, and the result is eternal life. And I had to think, you know, the kids singing up here this morning, talking about flying away, and I thought, you know, man, what an analogy of flying away. Some glad morning. You know, and some were standing, you know, a lot of them were standing up here and just, And it's like, okay, they learned from you and you and you and you and you and you. They learned how to sing and how to position yourself when you sing. Oh, I'll fly away, you know. And we all do it. We don't think about what we're singing. But I thought it was interesting. We reap eternal life. Why would we not make ourselves to be slaves to Jesus Christ? In Galatians 4, I read in Galatians 5 there, but in Galatians 4, the very last verse, it talks about that we are free. And in verse 1 of chapter 5, it says then that we are to stand fast. I think King James says in liberty, but in another translation, in the freedom wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again. So don't allow yourself to go back over here and to potentially, maybe you can be down here and still be saved, but you're not free like you have been when you're up here and away from the edge. We are free to not follow the culture around us. We don't do things just to be counterculture, but we do things because we dance to the tune of a different drummer. Back in March when I shared this message, I alluded to the book of Joshua, the first chapter we read there, and then chapter 24. And Elvin preached that back in about October of 2009. He had a message, and I'd marked it in my Bible, that's how I know. But in Joshua 24, I think it was 16 times that the Lord said, I gave you, I assigned you, I afflicted the Egyptians, I brought you out, I did this to the Egyptians, I brought you to land, I destroyed them, I would not listen to Balaam, but I gave them into your hands, I sent the hornet, I gave you a land. 16 times the word I. This was the Lord speaking. And then he goes on to say in Joshua 24, after all of that, now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your forefathers worshipped beyond the river and in Egypt and serve the Lord. Why would he even have to say this? Why would it not be like, duh? If I have the opportunity to serve the Lord, knowing that the Lord did this for me so that I could be this, why would I not? And then the very familiar verse in verse 15, Joshua 24 says, but if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods your forefathers have served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Joshua, that is his keynote words. We know those words that Joshua spoke. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Then the people answered, verse 16, far be it from us to forsake the Lord and to serve other gods. And then drop down to verse 18b. We too will serve the Lord because he is our God. Verse 19, Joshua said to the people, you are not able to serve the Lord. He is a holy God and a jealous God, and he will not forgive your rebellion and your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve other gods, he will turn and bring disaster on you, and he will make an end of you after he has been good to you. Remember I asked the other time when I preached this message, does God ever forget, or does he just not remember anymore? Because if these sins were done away with and covered, but he says, if you ever turn back, I will bring this back on you. I think God's big enough that he can choose to remember no more. I'm not sure if he's big enough to forget, but I think he could be. But it seems like to remember no more seems more appropriate to think about who God is. He chooses to remember no more. But the people said to Joshua, verse 21, no, we will serve the Lord. Then Joshua said, you are witnesses against yourself that you have chosen to serve the Lord. Yes, we are witnesses, they replied. Now then, said Joshua, throw away the foreign gods that are among you and yield your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel. And the people said to Joshua, we will serve the Lord, our God, and obey him. On that day, Joshua made a covenant for the people, and there at Shechem he drew up for them decrees and laws. And Joshua recorded these things in the book of the law of God. He took a large stone and set it up there under the oak near the holy place of the Lord. See, he said to all the people, this stone will be a witness against us. It has heard all the words the Lord has said to us. It will be a witness against you if you are untrue to your God. Verse 15, Joshua said, people, you've got to make a choice. And I think that's what God's calling us to today. He is telling each one of us, you got to make a choice. You got to make a choice who you're going to serve. And brothers and sisters, I think we're getting closer to the time to where it's not going to be something that I'm going to have to stand here and tell you that you have to make a choice. We're coming closer to a time, brothers and sisters, to where it's going to be you will make a choice. You will not have a choice to make a choice or not make a choice. You will make a choice. You are going to be counted. You're going to stand up and be counted, or you're not. And you're going to have to make a choice as to whether the cost is worth it. We're getting close to that time in our country. I'm not here to scare you. I'm just saying, as we see time go on, it's not necessarily a bad thing, because I think it's going to draw us together as a body of Christ. But it's going to weed out people. It's going to sort out who's, as they say, true blue, and who's just acting out. What other gods? They said back here that they're not going to serve any other gods. But what other gods are we serving today? There in verse 19, Joshua said, you are not able to serve the Lord, for he is a holy and jealous God, and he will not forgive your rebellion and your sins. It is said that that's sort of a bad translation, that it would actually sort of lean towards saying that you shall not cease to serve the Lord. And then where it says that he will not forgive your rebellion unless you put away your gods. And that makes a lot of sense in line with Scripture. You cannot serve capital letter God and small letter gods, singular or plural, gods. Whatever those things are, those gods in your life, God will not take just a part of you. Then Joshua told the people that you're witnesses against yourself. You done spoke. So in verse 23, he said, he gave them two steps. One was throw away the foreign gods that are among you. And then the other step was to yield your heart to the Lord, the God of Israel. So what are some foreign gods? And we could spend all morning here talking and picking up words of what foreign gods would be. The first one that probably comes to most of our minds is money. You can all look at people who have wealth and you're like, their God is their money. And that's wrong. What about the lack thereof of money? Could that be a god? Being as poor as a church mouse. But God, the God that you serve could be money because you don't have it and you'd so desire it. What about your house? What about your job? What about your cars? Anything that keeps us or holds us back from doing what God wants us to do can turn and be an idol. 2 Peter 3:3-17, and I won't read that, I'll read verse 3. It says, first of all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. And then it talks about what's all going to happen to these people. Then drop down to verse 11. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 11 says, since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives. Well, we kind of forget that so often. We forget what we're really here for. And I so appreciate in the gifts class, and those of y'all that have been through it, and we're going through it now with the youth, we're sitting in on it that Dwight's doing. But our purpose and our mission here is to live holy and godly lives. And that is to live out the Great Commission. Verse 17 in 2 Peter 3, again, talks about what's going to happen and what we're looking for. It says, therefore, dear friends, verse 17, since you already know this, be on your guard that you be not carried away by the error of lawless men and you fall from your secure position. So we have a secure position, he's saying, but we can actually fall from that because of following our culture and saying, what's wrong with it? It takes work and it takes due diligence to be sold out and to continue to be sold out for Christ. Verse 24, the people said there, we will serve the Lord. And the other thing they said is, we will obey Him. We will serve Him and obey Him. How many times do you find yourself, oh yeah, I love the Lord and I can lay my hands and I'm going to serve Him all my days. But are you obeying willingly His precepts? And it says where Joshua made a covenant. And we're coming up with our covenant signing this year again. We have that same type of thing, a covenant. It's not the one and only thing to do to be a Christian, but it's something that helps us and guides us, gives us direction. There was someone had it in their church covenant that I liked. It says, this church shall operate within the following covenant practices. This does not mean that we consider these the only right way to apply Scripture. However, we have agreed that this congregation will require this of all its members as a part of our identity as a specific community of faith. Violations will be treated as disciplinary offenses. We want it to be clearly understood. This is what I wanted you to hear. We want it to be clearly understood that these practices are in no way meant to be means of salvation, deeper spirituality, or security. We recognize that it is possible to obey all of these accords and still remain pagan. We refuse to condemn other Christians who do not practice biblical applications as we do, as long as they make a legitimate life application of biblical teachings. Professing Christians who require no life applications of Scripture will be treated as pagans. And I like that because it's calling each one of us to commitment. But it's not saying that the way we do here at Shiloh is the only right way, and anyone out there who does different is a pagan. But it is saying that anyone who does not apply biblical principles to their lives, we consider them pagan. Because as God's Word would plainly teach us, when there is a change in my life, there will be change that is noticeable. So we all need protection. We need accountability. There is not one of us who is fit to be left to ourselves. We need each other as a body. We need each other as brother to brother, sister to sister, to hold us accountable. We have signs on our box truck that have the shop name, the address, and the phone number. Sometimes when I'm driving that truck, I do not appreciate having no sign. I wish they weren't on for a particular instant. I'm always aware that those signs are on that truck. But you know what? It causes... Okay, maybe some of y'all don't ever act like that, but I do. But it causes me to act differently, knowing what stuck out on the outside, that I am identifiable by that writing on there. That's accountability. That's one form of accountability, which is not why we put them on there. We put them on because the law said we have to have them. But I don't like it. Sometimes I want to just do what I want to do. In closing, 2 Chronicles 16:9. For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him. God is looking for those who are willing to sell out, who are willing to be totally sold out no matter what. And I don't think that He will give me the strength ahead of time to sell out. But if we take His word and in simple faith believe, it's like His grace. He will then also supply that strength that we need, that walk that we need for today. And no matter what happens, no matter what bad comes in my life because of being sold out to Jesus Christ, it's not a big deal. Because I know where I'm going and I know who I'm following. And I'm not turning back. Are you? Am I sold out to serve? Truly, as we flesh that out, that's living in freedom. And that's the freedom that no country, no hierarchy, no other kings, no other rulers can ever take away from you. It's in here. Shall we stand for closing prayer? Father in heaven, this morning, would you use this message? Would you use these words of Scripture to enforce in our mind, again, who you are and how you want us to live, and the fulfillment that you have designed for us to have as we sell out to you? And so many times we miss it. God, I pray that you would go with us from here. Help us this week, this day, and tomorrow, and the next, to be so aware of who we are and of who you are. And to be so aware of the world around us and the needs that they have for a Savior. Help us, God, to be that salt and to be that light, to be that witness. Would you dismiss us from here for your honor and glory? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. Y'all are dismissed.